Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my joyful bride and minister of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, tada, my dear, and Erev Tov to you all. We have been refreshing ourselves on basic Christianity, and now we will focus on some of the culture of our Hebrew roots and see how much it resembles the Bride of Christ. But first, let us praise our Lord.
Abba, Father, we highly praise you and thank you for the greatest gift of all, our salvation. We pray for those who are called by your name, who has sadness in their life right now, that you restore to them that supernatural joy only you can bestow. We also pray for the backslider, that they renew their righteous spirit as we lift up to you these recent prayer requests. Please continue to pull at the hearts of our unsaved loved ones to bring them into your fold. We pray for Israel's soon and complete victory, putting pressure on Hamas to force its capitulation. We ask in Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
Time for some comments on the more important news.
Well, I'll try to keep it minimal as we begin with the truckers' retaliation for Trump's latest horrific and really unfair judgment. Truckers will not be delivering, they say, to New York City and other Democratic-run cities because this boycott is really picking up steam.
Well, it's sad what they're doing to him.
And even to his sons. But this boycott will be the, I think, the scapegoat for Biden to blame for an increasing bad economy.
More on all this next week.
Yeah, a lot can happen in a week. As in, South Carolina's primary is Saturday. Will Nikki drop out? Ultimately, I think. She still thinks Trump won't be able to run. One way or another, she thinks. But anyway, she does have probably some inside information, which is a concern. And that's evidenced by all the big league donations she's been getting.
And then there's the border issue.
That's getting worse, even at our northern border, too. But the enormous amount of just the Chinese nationals, all of military age, like 20,000 in just 4 months, and you can add that to the 31,000 last year, and you can see what's going on. In fact, there are videos on X, used to be Twitter, of some Chinese immigrants practicing their shooting skills with rifles in a nearby desert.
American author Gordon Chang says they are infiltrating to eventually kill us.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, why would you, as an immigrant, within a couple of weeks of arrival, not looking for a job, a place to live, food to eat, but rather sharpening your gun capabilities?
They even have a video of a Chinese woman operating a sniper rifle.
Mm-hmm. But things are finally better in Eagle Pass, you know, that Texas area. And now Governor Abbott is constructing a base camp for nearly 2,000 soldiers on his border in order to secure a more permanent Texas law enforcement presence.
The first 300 beds should be ready by April. So, what's going on in the Middle East?
Oh, in the Middle East, yeah. Well, Saudi Arabia has now stated it would not establish any formal ties with Israel until the Gaza aggression ceases. And here's where it gets ugly. And, they say, an independent Palestinian state based on 1967 borders with, wait for it, East Jerusalem as its capital.
That is shocking.
Yeah, but again, very scriptural. And this was not so, by the way, when Saudi Arabia was about to enter the Abraham Accords under Trump. But then, of course, Hamas couldn't stand for that, so they attacked Israel gruesomely, as you know, on October 7th.
And that was, by the way, the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles.
Mm, it sure was. What an ending. However, Israel is still progressing in Gaza and is now actually coordinating with Egypt, who remember, originally said no way would he allow Gazans into Egypt, but has now reconsidered and, in fact, is setting up camps in the Sinai to house around 100,000.
Well, what changed their mind?
Well, pressure from the United States. And don't forget, Israel helps Egypt in many ways, as in gas, trade, etc. And I'm sure they don't want to lose that. And Israel is still determined to get Hamas out from their last stronghold in Rafah's tunnels and free the hostages. So the Palestinians that fled south, remember, from northern Gaza, must travel a little more south into Egypt now.
Temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
And a little more south is the Red Sea. An update on that?
Yeah. Biden finally renewed Trump's sanctions against the Houthis for their attacks on shipping in the Red Sea. As well, it returned the Houthis to the list of terrorist groups in an effort to stem attacks, of course, on the international shipping.
But it did not work.
No, it did not. Missiles continued. In fact, one hit a British ship that is now beginning to sink. However, in Iran, two major gas pipelines were attacked by Israel last week, which happens to carry gas from Iran's south to some pretty major cities.
Well, such as Tehran, its capital.
And these major pipelines just happen to be hit in multiple locations, but all simultaneously.
Wow. You know, that probably had to be an inside job.
Seems so. Mm-hmm. And another warning to Iran, though, which, by the way, it did knock out 15% of Iran's natural daily gas production. So, must say, it is in response, by the way, for the increasing attacks by Hezbollah in Israel's northern area, which borders with Lebanon.
And what about Ukraine?
Well, this is a surprise. The capital of Ukraine, Kiev's new commander-in-chief, was born and raised in Russia, where some of his family still live.
Really? That's odd.
Yeah. Anyhow, we know from prophecy that Ukraine, they're just not going to win this war. Rather, Russia and also Iran will get stronger to come against Israel in the Magog War of Ezekiel 38. So right now, our sending more money to what everyone knows is corrupt anyhow is only prolonging it with more soldiers dying.
Well, the time to compromise is now.
But again, there will be wars and rumors of wars. And by the way, therefore now, there is also serious talk about another war to begin between Armenia and Azerbaijan.
Again, over land.
Oh, yeah. And you can also add the fact that the United States is building 5 new bases in Somalia. The bases will house the elite U.S.-trained Lightning Brigade. You know, Somalia has been fighting against the terror group Al-Shabaab for quite some time. But what else is going on here? Why send our military over just tensions rising between Somalia and Ethiopia, which, by the way, just happens to be over this disputed northern region called Somalia land?
Again, you know, why should we even be involved in that?
Well, Washington will probably say it's to help them fight terrorism. But actually, it's probably just more greed to benefit the elite of the military-industrial complex.
For sure.
But again, confirms scripture.
Okay, and we welcome all of your comments and end-time questions, either by email to Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please consider a love offering, which is always appreciated, and any correspondence will place you on our newsletter mailings. You can also bless us with your donation on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all our past radio and newsletters are as well archived for your continued learning pleasure. Okay, time to talk about the Jewish betrothment.
Yep, and I love this typology because that's where we are in the period of betrothment to our groom, Jesus Christ. And you would never see this comparison if you didn't know some basic first century Hebrew culture and customs.
You teased us last week that there were three ways the couple could be married.
That's correct. Number one, it could be arranged by the father, sometimes even from birth. However, the Jewish way would be that if either the bride-to-be or the groom says no, their wishes would be respected, which, by the way, is different from other customs during that time. And number two, the young man himself could take fancy to a certain maiden. And number three, they could use what they termed an agent.
Yeah, well, today we call it a matchmaker.
Yeah, like on eHarmony.com.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, back then the maiden had to be a virgin and proved by her blood to make the blood covenant on their wedding night. Or the groom would just say that the marriage is not legal. So let's look at the typology that you have probably already figured most of it out. But in the case of number one, God our Father, from the beginning, planned for Jesus to marry the church as the virgin bride.
We are pure virgins
only
Jesus and no other gods.
Amen. And number two, Jesus betrothed himself to the church at the Passover supper just prior to shedding his blood of his blood covenant for us.
And number three, the agent is the Holy Spirit.
Right, who woos us and then teaches us all about our groom, Jesus Christ, by the inspiration through his holy word, who enlightens us and guides our paths more toward him.
So, that's the Trinity.
Yes, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, let's look at the agent tonight as a typology in the word. You know, a couple weeks ago, we saw the typology of Abraham and Isaac's willing sacrifice, for he never disagreed with his father.
And Jesus went willingly as well.
He did. So just two chapters later, now in Genesis 24, and remember, we easily surmised that Isaac was not a young boy. So now we see that Abraham decides it's time for Isaac to take a bride. So the father makes the decision to send an agent. This would be Eliezer, his closest friend and dearest servant, as told in Genesis 15:2. In fact, Eliezer's name means helper of God.
And would have been his heir should Isaac have not been born.
That's right. So the agent, as the designated messenger, had the same authority as the one who sent him. Therefore, could also be referred to as the sent one, as Jesus also referred to himself as the sent one from the Father.
Yeah, he did. John 5.
Again, we see the Trinity. Anyhow, the story in Genesis 24, we see Abraham, who is advancing in age, tells Eliezer in verse 4 to be the agent and pick a wife from his family still in the land of Ur.
Which is in the area of Iraq today.
Eliezer asks, well, what if she doesn't come? Shall I take Isaac with me? And Abraham says, no, he must remain here. Right away, we see the picture of how Jesus remains with the Father in heaven.
Well, the Holy Spirit woos the bride.
Yes. And we read in verse 8 that if she refuses Eliezer, so be it. He is released from his oath to Abraham. But we also read that if she accepts, she was to go with him to follow along. The picture here is we need to follow Jesus right then. Because if one ponders too long, the Holy Spirit might become distant, therefore harder to hear his voice.
You know, that speaks heavy.
Oh, yeah. It reminds me of how God says in Romans 1, eventually, that he just turns them over to their sin.
Anyhow, we see the maiden always had a choice.
She did, and so do we. So Eliezer takes 10 camels, and on he went and prayed to God that when he arrived at the well where the woman would draw water, it would be the one who would give drink to him and his camels. That would be the one.
So in verse 17, we see that Eliezer actually speaks first to Rebecca.
He does. Another picture of how the Holy Spirit also speaks to our spirits first, tilling the soil of our hearts. Anyhow, Rebecca was the beautiful daughter of Abraham's nephew, Bethuel. So let's read Genesis 24, starting in verse 18.
So Rebecca said, "Drink, my lord." Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave Eliezer a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking."
By the way, Rebecca had a brother named Laban, and that we're going to meet in verse 26. And again later in chapter 29, you might recognize the name. He ends up being the father-in-law to Jacob,
who was Rebecca and Isaac's son.
He sure was. Of course, and at this time, it was still okay to marry family as they were still populating the earth. Remember, this is still in Genesis.
Think of Adam and Eve and their children.
But also, Abraham was careful due to the evil seed that permeated their neighbors in their day, which is why Abraham made Eliezer swear by oath not to take a bride from the neighboring Canaanites in verse 3.
And Sarah was Abraham's half-sister.
Yep, same father, different mother, according to Genesis 20. But remember, this was before the law of Moses, when then God forbids it in Leviticus 18.
And God did bless Sarah with a miracle baby at 99 years old.
He did. Then we see that Eliezer gives Rebecca gifts for her kindness to him, which pictures our gifts given to us even before we accept Christ. And then we read that he asks her if there is room for him to lodge at her father's house, and she says yes.
And Eliezer thanks the Lord for leading him here.
And by now he knows she is the one. Upon arrival, Rebecca's brother Laban welcomes him and his camels. Let's now read Eliezer's reason to her family for being there, starting in verse 34.
I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master abundantly, and he has become wealthy. He has given him sheep and cattle, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. My master's wife Sarah has borne him a son in her old age, and he has given him everything he owns. And my master made me swear an oath and said, you must not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I live, but go to my father's family and to my own clan and get a wife for my son.
And he continued to relay his story about being led to the well. And that he knew that she was the one to be wed to his master's son.
The family approved, for they believed he was sent by the Lord.
Then we see he gives Rebecca more gifts, as we also receive more gifts upon accepting Christ as our groom. And somewhere in there, she probably drank from the cup of wine, denoting her acceptance as well.
Like we do at communion, securing our commitment to Christ.
And we'll look at that more fully next week. But he also gives gifts to the family for the bride price. But also, this is a picture of our families being blessed when we receive Christ in that day. They are blessed in that they are blessed for salvation with more wooing from the Holy Spirit, and even more so because we pray for them.
But they must personally choose.
Of course. But the opportunities for them to do so are better, especially because they can sense the light around us.
So, never give up.
Amen. Anyhow, we see Eliezer stayed the night to leave first thing in the morning. But he hit a little snag, because the family wanted her to stay another 10 days. But Eliezer said, no way. She had to leave immediately. And Rebecca agreed.
You know, that's a great typology.
I'll say, because we too must leave the love of the world's ways entirely.
Not linger with one foot in the old life.
Right. Not lukewarm, but hot and on fire for the Lord 24/7.
And we have another great picture.
We sure do. On her long journey back of over 500 miles on a camel, no less, Eliezer, remember he's a picture of the Holy Spirit, would teach her all about Isaac. And that's us. Once we accept, we go on a journey like an adventure, learning all about Jesus from the enlightenment of God's agent, the Holy Spirit, through his book that he inspired and wrote down for our knowledge of how it was, how it is, and how it will be. What's also another picture is that it's not always a comfortable journey, as pictured by Rebecca's long camel ride.
Well, yeah, life can be a little bumpy.
Oh, yeah, but our journey sometimes, that can be. But he's ready to carry us through and then meet us at the end. Let's finish with verse 65 as Rebecca nears the finish of her journey.
And Rebecca asked the servant, who is that man in the field coming to meet us? He is my master, the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself. Then the servant told Isaac all he had done. Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah,
who had recently died.
And he married Rebecca.
And let me add, at the end of the consummation, she would then remove her veil.
So she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death.
So, saints of God, right now we see through a glass, or you could say veil, dimly. But then, face to face, and of course you know that's an idiomatic expression for Yom Kippur, when all eyes will see him at his second coming to earth. And then the new kingdom begins. Oh, what a happy day that will be. So we know God the Father planned for a bride for his son Jesus, and we saw this week how the Holy Spirit works as God's agent. Next time we will look at how a young man chooses a bride for himself and parallel that with us and Jesus. Meanwhile, what about you? Are you longing passionately to see him? Do you even know the Lord at all? If not, take the time right now. Get on your knees. Repent and invite him into your spirit. For he's knocking on the door of your heart right now. Leave the world's bondage and turn your life over to Christ. He's your Savior. And then read his love story, wrote in his blood for you. That's his whole story. That's his book. And the more you read it, the more you'll grow and want to be closer to him. He'll give you that power needed over your enemy. You know, your enemy wants to torment you constantly. But Christ alone paid your entire debt for your sins. So accept his receipt. It's your move. Always your choice. So don't be a fool, for time is running by quickly. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till then, Shalom, Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. And that's from Psalm 122, verse 6. So till next time, tell someone about Jesus. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.